TalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rack.
We're not acting like we're in second grade. We are working through our anger issues. You see, Kane and I, we used to be a lot like you. But thanks to Dr. Shelby, we're in a better place now. And not only that, we are champions. You do want to be a champion again.
Yes.
Don't you, Andy?
Yes, I do. And after I win the Royal Rumble match, I...
Wait. First, we win our tag match, and then... Group hug!
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE and TNA.
Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
The
tag team champions.
No, world tag team champions of the world.
That's redundant.
Totally
it's not redundant.
We're two planets worth of great. We've established this time and time again. World Tag Team Champions of the World. Hashtag it, everybody. You'll see.
The first time you hear it, you think you made a mistake.
Intelligent people know better. That's all I have to say on that.
And whichever like two worlds you want to choose, it's up to you.
Heck yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Even Pluto counts, even though it's not a planet anymore, despite the fact they found another moon.
But it is still a dog.
It is.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, Mem Lane promo for all your memorabilia needs, and that's MemLanePromo.com, I should say. Yay, I screwed up their web address in the first 5 seconds of the show. Go me! I am, of course, your faulty host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever faithful, ever diligent, ever patient producer, Sorokin.
Oh, yes, I am here, and oh my God.
Yeah, I think that kind of sums this week up. It's a holy crap, one of those weeks where we have a ton of stuff to get into. And we're not even talking about tonight's Impact. We'll get into that a little bit later. There's some big news coming out of that show tonight. But we've got some major news for TNA. We've got some news for WWE. And before we get to all of that, though, we have our question of the night.
Our question of the night goes as follows. Maybe one of these has like actually get a sound there for the question of the night, but anyway. If WWE Games did a faction version of their video game, what factions would you like to see featured in said game? So we're going to get into all of that later in the show.
Interesting.
So, Matt, hold your answers. We won't see them... Hold on.
Yeah, hold your answers till the end of the show, or at least until you go to bed, and then we'll read them. But yes, and this question is in honor of PAX and of San Diego Comic-Con, both which kicked off tonight. There's some awesome pictures coming out of at least San Diego Comic-Con. Mace has PAX pictures, and he has news and information and all kinds of cool stuff. So tune in to the website, wildtalkradio.com. Check that out, because he will be putting up, hopefully, an article here soon.
Yeah, sometime today he'll have something up, so keep checking wildtalkradio.com. And yes, Matt, the new figures are awesome, and there's a lot more that's come out, and we'll talk about them probably next week on the show, once they are all released.
There's a Fuzzy.
Yes, there is an Undertaker, and there is a CM Punk with an urn, but... We'll get into that another time. We got loads to get into tonight.
yes, we do have loads to get into, and I guess we better just kind of sort of talk about the biggest news coming out of this week, which
is Roddy Piper is going to guest star in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, totally. That's the biggest news. No.
It is. It's a huge story. He's been on, I believe he's been on the show before, and he's going to be back on the show this coming season. So check him out. Roddy Piper in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Ding! And of course, this new segment is that always, as always, brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com. I think we're just going to call it the TNA chunk.
Yeah, we're gonna let's get TNA, you know, out of the way, and then we'll get into other things.
There is a ton of news coming out of TNA this week. Probably the biggest news in the fact that we saw more releases, and they were not small, they were significant. Sadly, my heart is broken. They have released Tara. It was due to financial constraints. She is the highest paid knockout that they have, and due to massive financial problems, which we're going to get into in a minute, she was let go.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully the problems are resolved and she's able to come back, or at the very least we see more of her soon in other endeavors. In the meantime, if you're in Chicago, go to the Squared Circle. Apparently it is awesome. I have not tried it, so I'm taking Matt Goldberg's word on this.
Yes, and if Matt Goldberg is wrong, well, then you need to find him on IMDb and then kick his ass.
Yeah, totally, completely kick him in the butt.
And yes, I do understand how if you go to IMDb and you kick his ass there, it's kind of, you know, hard to do, but somehow do it.
You know, the virtual kick in the butt.
The virtual kick in the butt, yeah.
But also we have more releases, not just Tara. For those of you who had not heard and really kind of wondered where he went, like me, apparently D'Lo Brown is also gone from the company. Again, these are all due to financial issues that the company's having right now. D'Lo was an agent. He was working backstage, and apparently they asked the agents to restructure their pay deal, mm-hmm. which D'Lo did, and then he was let go. I don't know if there's more news on that one.
He was asked to go to a pay-per-appearance type deal, pay-per-show type deal, which he did, and then was cut because of budgetary reasons, and that's all that's coming out so far, and he's not the only one who got the chopping block, though.
No, and in a kind of surprise, the last one, and kind of a really arguably one of the biggest ones, is, well, TNA does not love him because Bruce Prichard is gone from TNA.
Yes, vice president of talent, vice president of talent relations and multiple other roles, has been released from the company. He was also in charge of head of creative at one point. There was a point, it came down to a point of he was taken out of the VP spot or the talent relations spot, one or other, I don't know for sure. But then he was asked to move to the role of day of producer. That was it.
Which apparently did not sit well with him, and, well, they have now parted ways, as it were.
And I quote, TNA is headquartered in Nashville, and as we move forward, our creative team and executive leadership will be here in Nashville with us. And Bruce's dedication and passion for TNA and Impact Wrestling will be missed, and we thank him for his incredible work. For the incredible work he has done for us, we will wish him all the very best, said Dixie Carter.
Well, at least he got a nice parting message, and there was actually a fourth departure from the company. He was not released, however, his contract did expire, and it was allowed to expire, thanks Bruce Prichard. Luke Gallows, a.k.a. Steve, a.k.a. Doc, a.k.a. whatever you want to call him, is gone from the company.
Yes.
His contract expired. He sent a tweet out earlier this week saying so. Apparently, they were not able to come to terms with a new deal for him.
And that was, it all kind of sort of fell in the lap of Bruce Prichard, and that's what we're going to get into right here, is this is not the first, this is not the last. Well, it is the last now, but it wasn't the first. And it was. And there's been many that have sort of come up short when it came to Bruce Pritchard. As Wrestling Fanatic mentioned, Bobby Roode was one of the names back at Lockdown, I believe it was, where
yeah.
There was a lot of wishy-washy concerning his deal that lapsed under their noses or whatever. It took a while to get the deal done, and that was all on Bruce Pritchard. Another one is Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, that's probably and arguably the biggest loss for the company, especially since WWE very quickly and easily snapped RVD right up,
apparently,
as we saw at Money in the Bank this past week.
Which we will get into later in the show. But when it came to Rob Van Dam, apparently the deal was, it was a done deal. He was coming back to TNA, and then, Bruce, are you there? Bruce, are you there? Anyone? Hello? No one was returning his phone call.
Right.
So that's what happened there. It's also Velvet Sky fell under this whole loop thing because her contract expired and they never renewed it. I believe there's one other that I can't remember off the top of my head. But there's been multiple occasions where talent contracts have come up and, Bruce has dropped the ball.
Wasn't Bruce also responsible for the Angelina Love debacle a couple years ago where her visa expired and nobody bothered to renew it?
I don't know.
And she was forced to leave. I'm not sure if that was him or not. I know there have been issues in the past. Her work visa, Matt, she's Canadian, and she was actually forced to leave the company until they could resolve the visa issue and for her to come back.
I don't think Bruce was involved in that. I don't think he was with the company at that point. I think he's only been with the company for the last year or so. So it has nothing to do with... that one has nothing to do with him, but other contracts have fallen by the wayside when it came to him, and I believe D-Von was one of them. That's the other name I was thinking of, D-Von, back in June.
Right.
Bruce Pritchard has dropped the ball multiple times, and now he's gone, and a lot of people are kind of happy about that.
A lot of people are happy about that, and I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of one of them. But it really kind of is upsetting, too, because it's like we all know he was not a fan of the Knockouts. And so it's like now, yay, the Knockouts might get a decent push, except, they're kind of sort of a small division now.
Well, they've sort of always been a small division, if you really think about it. There was only one point where there were at least 10 Knockouts. There's always been around 6 to 8, so we're at, 6 now?
Yeah. So I think so. 5-6.
And they can always bring in people on one-shot deals and what have you like to do for the X division. So I wouldn't worry about the Knockouts division at this point.
But still, now they'll at least get a decent shot, as it were. Whereas we all know they suffered kind of when Bruce came in.
And you could tell, I think, as he's been phased out at the creative end over the last 6 weeks, the Knockouts have been featured prominently on the programs with the Last Knockout Standing, the ladder match, that sort of thing.
So it's going to be interesting how TNA moves forward without Bruce Pritchard, and because he's already been kind of phased out as is. I believe they will be okay, but I think they have bigger worries than losing Bruce Pritchard at this stage.
Yeah, they sort of do. They have, as well documented, especially we've talked about it here on this show, they're up against the financial troubles at this point. Apparently, it cost them $600,000 a TV taping to run Impact. That's kind of pricey, all things considered, for their budgetary reasons. And that was one of the biggest reasons why they never went on the road. And they've never been able to recoup all this money they're putting out. And that's where it's gone to many, on the internet at least, like, oh my god, TNA is done. Oh my god, they're done. What the hell? Good going, TNA. You pay Hulk Hogan, you don't pay anyone else?
Yeah, it's they're facing financial constraints, I should say. They're not done. They're not closing their doors. Yes, they are letting people go to try and sort of stop the hemorrhaging, because at this stage, I think they're letting people go that, no offense to Tara at all, but that they're really paying to sit at home and do nothing.
Right. And now some people compare them to, like, an ECW or WCW in their final, you know, days. The one thing about TNA that neither WCW nor ECW had, they have television deals. And
right.
They, not just here in the States, they have television deals overseas, and especially in the United Kingdom. They're bringing in money. They're bringing in money. It's just, they got to reorganize the books.
Basically, it's they went live initially with no new revenue streams coming in, so they kind of went live already in the hole, as it were, and then they've just never been able to kind of pick it up since then. The shows are doing well on the road. They're selling quite a lot of seats.
Some shows are doing better than others. There's some shows that fall flat, but there's some shows that they're able to bring in a nice decent-sized crowd. But it doesn't always make up for the money that they have to put out. And this is
where
cutting back on talent, which is, you know, something they need to do, because they got a big roster, and, you know, they're a small company. We got to remember this. They're a small company.
We were kind of sitting here and we were looking at the names on tonight's show, and it's like, well, this person could go, and this person could probably go, and this person probably will go. It's going to be interesting to see in the next few weeks if there are more cuts that happen and who goes, because it's like you look at some of the names on that roster and it's like, well, they don't really do anything with them anyway. So it's a question of how long they're going to keep them around.
Right. Wrestling from that Fanatic makes a good point. The result of going on a road will come long term was never going to be easy.
No, it wasn't. I absolutely agree with that.
Right, and everyone is going, you know, oh my god, 6 months in, it's a failure. No, it's not. TNA has a plan, and they know what they're doing. They know exactly where they're headed and the direction they want to go. Is it, you know, is go backstage at Impact tonight, you know, probably not the most pleasant place to be? Probably not. Because a lot of the boys and girls are no longer there.
Right. And that's, you know, that's with any company. WWE, when they do their cuts, I'm sure it's not a pleasant place to be. Right. When that chopping block comes out, even though it has not come out in quite a while, for a long time, usually a couple weeks after WrestleMania, that's when that chopping block would come out, and we would see massive releases. And I'm sure it was not pleasant to be at work when that was going on.
Right.
Because you never know who was going to be there and who wasn't.
So it's going to take some adjustment for TNA, and it's going to take, you know, the one thing about this internet and people on it, including us, it's like people react and overreact, and some people take it as an opportunity to just knock things that, you know, knock things right away. It's like, huh. Maybe they should think twice before they start knocking things.
Yeah, it's, if TNA, again, it's financial problems, but if TNA were getting ready to close, there would be more clearer signs. They're having financial problems, not going to deny that at all, but they are not prepared to close, not by a long shot.
No.
And I don't think, honestly, I don't think Spike will let them.
Right.
And I don't think Panda will let them either. And that's the other thing, is they are still backed by Panda.
Mm-hmm. So we have some, you know, when we talk about being loaded and having lots of news, we have some breaking news to get into.
Oh, we do.
According to our friends over at TNA Asylum, and they're reporting, according to Wrestling News World, the word going around is that D-Von will now be replacing D'Lo Brown as an agent in TNA Wrestling.
Okay, then.
That is not all. We have more news. The next major TV special for TNA Wrestling, Impact Wrestling, will be on August 15th. It will be the return of Hardcore Justice.
Is that the one they just put out?
did that with the Hardcore Justice 2 on the one and the one and only, yes. But this is going to be a Spike TV special.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Sorry.
On August 15th, the Spike TV special, Hardcore Justice, live from Norfolk, Virginia.
Wonder who they're going to bring in for that.
So we will have to wait and see. So you can see they're, TNA is adding back in those pay-per-views that they got rid of into their schedule slowly, but they're not making them pay-per-views. They're TV specials. Which I have no problem with. I think that's actually kind of a cool idea.
It is kind of a new idea. It makes it, or a cool idea. It makes it, it adds that specialness to it where it's like, oh, hey, you know, it's, it used to be a pay-per-view, but we're basically going to give you a 2-hour pay-per-view for free.
Right.
And we're going to do it on the months that we don't have a show. By the way, if you have not gotten TNA Hardcore Justice 2,
get it.
Get it. It's very, very good, very well done, kind of awesome.
Now staying in this whole TNA kick we're still on,
mm-hmm.
TNA has also announced the next stage in the Bound for Glory series.
Oh.
And it will be in your hands.
I saw this on Twitter!
Mm-hmm. The hashtag BFG series fan vote. Now, do you know what this is all about?
Where you vote the matches into the Bound for Glory series, who you want to see fight.
You vote the card you want to see fight. They give you three card options to vote for. So you vote for the card you want to see that night. Here, let's see. Starting now on ImpactWrestling.com through Monday, July 29th, you will have the opportunity to vote for the BFG series matches airing on August 1st and August 8th from Wichita Falls. So you get to see the next set of card, the next set of matches. So you get to choose from these three cards. Okay? Jeff Hardy versus Mr. Anderson, Magnus versus Mojo Joe, AJ versus Bobby Roode, Joseph Park versus Hernandez, Aries versus Daniels, and Kazarian versus Jay Bradley. That's card number one.
Aries versus Daniels. Ooh.
Card number two, Aries versus Styles, Anderson versus Magnus, Hernandez versus Roode, Park versus Bradley, Joe versus Hardy, which means the two people left are Daniels versus Kazarian. Or card number three, Samoa Joe versus Austin Aries, Jeff Hardy versus Hernandez, Bradley versus Roode, Kazarian versus Magnus, Park versus Anderson, or Styles versus Daniels one more time. So those are your options. You can vote. Join in on the conversation using the hashtag BFG Series Fan Vote, where you can choose which card, and you go to ImpactWrestling.com and vote as well. I'm kind of leaning towards number two.
I'm kind of actually leaning towards number one.
What has you wanting standing out in number one? Aries and Daniels?
Aries and Daniels. Although, can I just vote for Joseph Park to win the whole thing?
You can, but I don't think that it would count.
Damn.
Sorry, but yeah. I'm casting my vote now for card number two. Hey, look, I voted. There you go. Thanks for voting. Make sure you watch Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Spike TV. There you go. Voting has been done. So those will be the matches you will see on August 1st and August 8th. So there you go. I think that's everything in the TNA news bit, I think.
We think? We're good? Are we done?
I think. We covered that. Yeah, we're good. We're covered.
Okay.
We're good on the TNA front.
All right. Well, we're going to kind of change gears now. We're going to shift over to the other company. Or do we want to do the big kind of sort of independent news coming out?
Let's do independent news first.
Right, well, the biggest story kind of coming out of the independents, or not independents, but really people who aren't signed with anybody technically, is, well, Ric Flair has sort of added to his troubles, or has had troubles added to him, as it were. It seems that earlier in the week, an arrest warrant was issued for Flair due to back child support or back spousal support payments. Flair kind of rebutted it later in the week by saying that his son passed away and he was in the hospital due to a blood clot, and that's why he could not make the payments. Mm-hmm.
It's well, I believe it's up to $32,000, and it's going to come to down to the point of he will eventually pay the bill. Is the best way to put it from what I heard today. He will eventually pay the bill when push comes to shove, but right now it's a really contentious divorce proceeding between the two.
Yes, and just to also kind of put it out there, she had an arrest warrant put out for harassment. So,
that's, yeah, there's multiple voicemails and text messages on Ric Flair's current girlfriend, Wendy, phone from the ex-wife.
Yeah, so this is getting down and dirty and nasty, and so and it is not clear right now if Flair will actually serve any jail time. He probably won't, particularly if he can work something out with the court regarding the payment.
If he makes the money, he'll pay. If he pays the money, he won't face any jail time. It's basically the best way to put it.
Yeah, pretty much. So kind of keep your fingers crossed there for Ric Flair. Poor guy. He has not had an easy time of it.
No. But let's stay on legends, okay?
All right.
This is one pieces of news Lindsay has no idea about.
Oh, God.
So, I'm a fan of baseball. Lindsay's a pseudo-fan of baseball.
Go Braves.
Go Braves. Well, the Miami Marlins, well, they want people in their ballpark.
Oh, I've heard about this.
You've heard about this? So when the Marlins play the Rockies on August 24th, they want Legends of Wrestling Night. Apparently, according to the report, Bill Goldberg will throw out the ceremonial first pitch.
Will he do it better than that one chick who couldn't even get it over the plate?
Carly Rae Jepsen, you would hope.
I would hope.
Other legends scheduled appear: Bret Hitman Hart, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Jimmy Mouth of the South Hart, Coco Beware, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, Bushwhacker Luke, and more.
Well, go Marlins!
Yeah, the Marlins averaged 17,416 fans per game, ranking last in the majors in attendance despite playing in the newest stadium in Major League Baseball.
Well, you know, if they actually had a good baseball team...
This is true. They sold off all their players because they couldn't win last year. Yes, and yes, Matt Goldberg, your uncle will be throwing out the first pitch.
Yes.
So that's a little bit more of Legends of Wrestling news.
Yes, and now we're going to transition into WWE. Yes, there is a lot of news this week. Just deal with it. The first news story coming out is, well, Jericho has finished up for the time being. He's taking his summer break, and he is moving on to do his tour with Fozzy.
Yeah, and he finished up on a high note.
Yes, if you did not see the match for Monday night between him and RVD, for the love of God, go find it on YouTube. It is amazing.
And apparently he has a good match up this Friday on SmackDown as well, from what I've heard. I can't remember who he's fighting, but I know he had a good match.
Yes, so check out SmackDown for Jericho's last match for the time being as he finishes up. We're not going to give away spoilers because, well, we don't have the sounder up.
And I don't remember who it was. Unless you... Do you remember who it was?
I don't remember who it was, sadly.
But anyway,
spoiler alert!
There's your sounder.
There's the sounder, so now I can actually click on the SmackDown spoilers, and I can tell you it is going to be Go Away Papa Bad.
Curtis Axel.
So
it will be Chris Jericho and Curtis Axel this Friday on SmackDown. Apparently it's a very good match.
Yes.
Yes, Matt, cover your ears. And in just case people were wondering, that was indeed a...
Spoiler alert!
Yes, that's why we have the sounder.
We has the sounder for this sort of deal. Anyway.
We also, there was a huge announcement coming out of WWE 2K14, where it appears that the Warrior is going to be appearing in the game. He cut new promos for it. There's a big story on WWE.com about it. With including pictures of him now in face paint and the full regalia.
Yeah. Have you watched the video of him cutting the promo?
No, not yet.
We should play the audio on this show, I think.
No, we shouldn't.
Yeah, we should. I think we should. It's.
You have it up, don't you?
I'm about to bring it up. It's very special.
It's Warrior.
It is Warrior, and that's where I'm trying to find it really quickly. Because I know I put it out there, but I've tweeted a lot since then. So this is where I'm stalling a minute. I tweeted a lot tonight and Facebooked a lot tonight since it came out, so.
Yes, if you haven't seen it, go check it out on at least WWE.com. There are pictures, there's the promo, which we're about to play for you if Rock can find it.
If I can find it, I'm working on it. Getting there.
And it's leading to speculation as far as what other legends will now be appearing in the game since this is Warrior's first technical official appearance in a WWE video game. A lot of people do not count the All-Stars appearance, seeing as he wasn't necessarily associated with it. So this is the first time that he actually had a part in the game. He recorded things for the game. There are pictures of him with the game. They are doing a lot to promote his appearance in WWE 2K14.
I've given Lindsay the video, the link to the video, so she can see what's happening as we play the audio for you folks right here and right now, courtesy of WWE Games.
I'm a little scared, not gonna lie.
Not even the Grim Reaper himself, starving to get his hands on my warrior's soul, can keep me from hearing the battle cries of the warriors in the WWE Universe to experience WWE 2K14. Pay attention. Never before have so many superstars stepped up to challenge our throne. And if you pre-order WWE 2K14, you can engage the battle as the ultimate warrior. That power, this intensity, your belief, our destiny, all of it together created the one and only ultimate warrior. All of us, the freaks, who did in our time what will live forever.
Hold this, boss.
Pre-order WWE 2K14 today and battle as the one and only Ultimate Warrior. Become immortal. WWE 2K14. Pre-order now.
Wow. That's just...
Have you seen... You watched some of the video?
I watched the entire thing in almost perfect sync. Oh my hell, that is like a new level of special.
Yeah, a lot of people have been praising that. If that was a lot shorter, that would have been fantastic. But that went on for a while.
The effect of him walking around the office, we've seen that before, and those are always entertaining when you take offers, when you take wrestlers into a corporate environment. But, yeah, that could have been probably 10 to 20 seconds shorter, basically, you know, him throwing people around like crazy and smacking everybody possible with the game. After a while, it got a little old.
Yeah, kind of did. But, yeah, as you mentioned, it led to a lot of speculation on who would actually be a part of the game. Which is sort of how our question night came about last night as we were planning the show. And I'm going to pose it out to you guys in the chat room right now. Is there any legend you want to see in the game? Because we were deciding, and you know, it's like, a lot of them have been in the game. And is there one, that one guy that sticks out to you that you want to really see in a game? Because you're going to have... Ultimate Warrior having Randy Savage in this game, and we're gonna do this whole little
spoiler alert.
Bruno Sammartino is probably going to be in the game as well, from all accounts. Matt Goldberg says Goldust, Godfather, Gangrel. See, those are, I guess, they're legends. They're old. It's trying to be nice. Yeah, Godfather and Gangrel were in 2013, and Goldust has been in other games. That's one name we came up with, Andre the Giant. He's an actual legend that you really don't see in video games. He's been in All-Stars, but that's about it, from what I remember.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. Andre was one we came up with. Gangrel and Godfather and Goldust, yeah, they've been in other games, and they're awesome, and they're cool to remember, but I don't necessarily qualify them as legends.
Legendary. Not
legends. Yeah, legendary, but not legends.
Demolition would be interesting, but again, weren't they in a game? I think they were. I think they were in last year. I can't remember last game, but I think they were. But don't hold me to that, anyone out there. Either way, yeah, they were in a game. Ted DiBiase. The Dingo Warrior. Oh, wait, yeah, that's right. So it'll be a lot of speculation on who will be in the game, and down the line, we will cover the release of the roster around the week after SummerSlam when it is officially announced, because usually they have a big event the Saturday before SummerSlam, and we'll discuss it the following week.
Right. So stay tuned and listen to that, and now we're going to kind of, speaking of speculation...
Hold on. Mac Goldberg wants Big Dick Johnson in his game.
We'll let you go for that, Matt.
Just pointing that one out, Matt. Anyway, moving on.
Anyway, moving on to the last and final story, as we're getting to the last and final story of the news for the night. Speaking of speculation, speaking of rumor, and speaking whether or not it's true or not, a rumor broke coming out of SmackDown that Randy Orton is in fact hurt.
According to WWE.com, he's hurt.
Yes, according to WWE.com, he is injured. It is nerve damage, is basically the easy way of putting it, where he's lost some control of his nervous system in a way. And we Googled it, we looked it up, and the average recovery time for it is about 4 to 6 weeks. However, what makes the story kind of interesting is that, well, Randy himself came out and tweeted, "Oh yeah, by the way, I'm fine."
Yeah, here's what happened. And again, we're going to...
Spoiler alert!
During a match with Alberto Del Rio this Friday night on SmackDown, he gets kicked in the neck. And that's where all this injury talk has started from. And, well, officially, it's a sprained neck. That's the official know-how of the injury. That's what people are really saying it is. It's a sprained neck. And he could be out, you know, a week, or he could be back on Monday. Who depends on how he feels. It's going to be something he's going to have to manage the pain and go from there. Neck injuries are toughies. Just look at Edge, Austin, Lita, etc., etc. Kurt Angle, you know, sprains can lead to broken necks and that sort of thing. So he should be careful, you know, as he goes along in this recovery process of a neck injury, because that's a tough area.
Right, especially with their new policy on concussions and injuries in general, they're not going to play with a neck injury.
Right.
So, and that's if it's legit.
Well, it is a legit sprained neck. What they say on WWE.com, that's might be a little bit blown out of proportion and that sort of thing. But it is a sprained neck from what I've heard.
So... But what's leading is the speculation to what could potentially happen for SummerSlam. As of now, there are really no plans for Randy. As we know, Rock, Mr. Mole himself.
Hey, I'm not the fucking mole.
You're the mole. Get over it.
No, I'm not the mole.
He's the mole, folks. Called Randy Orton winning the Money in the Bank, and surprise, surprise, Randy did in fact win the Money in the Bank, so he now has the briefcase and the nasty little rumor that he's going around. Is that, well, Randy is going to, out of nowhere, cash it in at SummerSlam, so isn't it kind of convenient that he sort of gets hurt 5 weeks out from the show, and well, that would put him out to, well, make a nice little return at SummerSlam and cash it in on either John Cena or Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan wins the WWE Championship, and then you hear voices in your head, they talk to you, and out comes Randy Randy Orton, and out of nowhere, he wins the WWE Championship.
Pretty much, yeah, which would cause the internet to absolutely explode in anger.
Uh-huh.
Because, well, WWE would give us all that moment. They would give us Daniel Bryan winning the title, and then it would be the shortest WWE title reign in history as Randy Orton would come in and cash in on Daniel Bryan.
You know, you could beg, you can argue shortest title reign because Big Show currently has it. When Daniel Bryan beat the Big Show?
Does Big Show have it, or does Kane still hold it?
Well, I think, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think Kane still holds WWE. Big Show, I think, has the World Heavyweight Championship.
Or whatever. World Heavyweight Championship. It doesn't matter. Either way. Why did Matt Goldberg ask, why did you do that to him, though? It's simple. Because they can.
Pretty much. Vince is not high on Daniel Bryan. He's really is not convinced that Daniel can carry the championship or carry the company. And yes, Bryan is over. He's over like a mother, but that doesn't show up in the ratings. And that's one of their major concerns. And so, yes, you give Daniel Bryan that moment. You make at least the internet wrestling crowd happy, you know, as far as you give Daniel Bryan the championship, and then you can just easily put it on somebody that you know is a bankable star in Randy Orton.
Right. So, we'll see what happens, and I'm not the mole.
You're totally the mole, but on that note...
No, we're not done. I got two
stories.
We're
not done?
We got more news.
Oh, good lord.
According to Mick Foley via Twitter, Saturday Morning Slam is returning very, very soon. They're going to be filming in the next few weeks new episodes of Saturday Morning Slam.
Yay!
And finally, we're talking science on the show.
Oh, yes, science. Forgot the science.
Science. So, a group of scientists have analyzed pages on Wikipedia. And this whole science analyzation thing has led to people, you know, to see which topics have had the most edits on them. WWE employees was number 4 on the list.
I'm so shocked.
Behind George W. Bush, anarchism, Mohammed, and ahead of global warming, Jesus Christ and the United States.
Not surprised. Not in the least. Hell, you could look at the Money in the Bank Wikipedia entry before the show and somebody had put spoilers in there.
But think about that. There's scientists analyzing Wikipedia pages to see who has added the most, you know, on them.
Yeah, it's called tracking it.
Yeah, and WWE's in there with George Bush, anarchism, and Muhammad.
Are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm just concerned about the world.
You should be. That's what concerns you about the world. We need to have a conversation.
That's what concerns me about this world today. Yesterday it was people smelling Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah, I don't even want to know how many people smelled Honey Boo Boo. That makes me question people's sanity.
Well, let's find out how many people smelled Honey Boo Boo, because wasn't
don't need to know.
Wasn't yesterday the premiere?
I don't even know. The commercial has stopped, so I would say so.
Honey Boo Boo. The episode at 9 o'clock did 2.8 million viewers, and the episode at 9:30 did 2.9 million. Almost 3 million people love them Honey Boo Boo.
Oh, America, you have so many problems.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you really, really do. But on the same note, people still watch Full House. That got 1.6 million people last night.
Some of my faith in humanity has been restored, but not all of it.
So there you go.
So there you go. Are we done?
That's all the news I got, yes.
All right, so on that note, we are going to kick it to our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we are going to be talking all about tonight's exciting Impact, what happened, who fought, who made appearances, and, well, what titles changed hands. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Apparently, Lindsay, are you there? Maybe, kind of, hopefully. Anyway, maybe she is, maybe she's not, who knows. I'm here. Here we go. Lindsay's left me all alone. Because right now, folks, we have breaking news. Yes, folks. We have breaking news. Terrified will be featured at the Valley Film Festival this November. November 7th to 11th in Los Angeles, California. Yes, breaking news. Matt Goldberg's film, Terrified, will be in Los Angeles this November.
Ooh.
So that was our breaking news right here on The Rack.
Well done, Matt. Well done.
So there you go, Matt. See, we broke into our commercial set just to do breaking news for you. You happy about that one? And now, by legal obligation, I must play this following advertisement.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels, letting you know that you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends Memorabilia Lane. That's MemLanePromo.com. And, of course, we are now getting ready to talk about tonight's exciting and explosive Impact, brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.com. Hey, everybody who's listening to us over there.
Hello, everybody. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're getting heavy into Impact, a.k.a. Destination X.
And, oh my hell, what a show.
Yeah, this was a show, alright. This was a big event, rather than a show. This was a big event for the company.
It really was. And it was nice that they had it have that big show feel.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really, really was. But now we're going to get into it because the show opened with them doing a pan shot of the participants for tonight's Destination X, where we had about 9 wrestlers, including Petey, Sanjay Dutt, and others standing in a line, prepared and ready to vie for a shot in next week's Ultimate X match. Who will it be? Who will it be?
Who will it be? We will find out later in the show.
Yes, and then of course we open with a backstage shot of Chris Sabin, who is preparing to battle for the TNA World title. We also got a really nice retrospective on Chris Sabin.
Mm-hmm.
And a really good video package done for him. So bravo TNA, their post department is second to none. I wish I could do videos as nice as they do. But then, after we get Sabin out of the way, we cut to the ring where we have Bully come out. And he came through the actual entranceway?
Yeah, he was actually through the entranceway, which was caught me off guard, but hey.
Yeah, it's it like, happened. Huh, okay. But anyway, Bully storms to the ring. He's in a mood, and it's not a good one. Taz has gone missing from commentary, so we have JB. Bully then makes the demands that the music be shut off. He says enough is enough. All week long, from Twitter to Facebook to the whole world, all he's heard about is Chris Sabin.
Let's go, Sabin. Let's go, Sabin.
The fans then chant Sabin's name a la Rock, and Bully says they can chant his name all they want, but Sabin doesn't have a shot in hell. Makes a comment of how the fans seem to be planning a parade when in fact they should be planning a funeral. Funny, I thought Bully was associated with a funeral already. Anyway. Bully then says he is the most hated man in pro wrestling and he's fine with that. Everything is perfect. The table is set. The plans are laid. Bully claims he will destroy Chris Sabin tonight and then the Aces will destroy the main event Mafia. Bully is full of confidence. He says that with everything taken care of, with everything in hand, he wants to talk to his wife. Bully then calls out Brooke, and she obliges him by coming out. She then demands to know what else Bully could possibly want from her. He's tricked her, he's tricked her father, he's tricked Dixie Carter, he's tricked everybody in Impact Wrestling, so what else could he possibly want? She says that she has moved on. She flashes the ginormous engagement ring on her hand and tells him that he should move on too. Bully changes his tone, and he says that, like he said last week, and he's totally happy to be able to look her in the face and tell her this, look her in the eye and tell her this to her face, that, well, she'll be allowed to move on when he says she can.
You move on when I say you move on.
Pretty much. In that nice grating tone of his. This, of course, then brings out Daddy Dearest Hulk Hogan. He says that enough is enough as the fans chant his name. Hogan says Bully has gotten all he's going to get out of Brooke, out of himself, and out of Impact. He's got the title, and that's all he's going to get, and he's going to lose it tonight. Bully says he will never grant a divorce as they walk away from him, and he will never, ever, ever lose the TNA title, and there is nothing they can do about it. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. He raped and pillaged his family and his company for too long.
Yep. Fantastic line. And, well, Bully, while Bully's making his threats, we have somebody else interrupt. The main event mafia. They appear on the screen. Kurt Angle then tells them that, well, Bully, there is something that can be done about it. And they're going to take care of it. They're going to ensure that the Bully Saban match is, in fact, a fair fight. And then, of course, we're also going to find out who's stronger tonight, Main Event Mafia or the Aces and Eights.
Ooh. Really hot opening segment of the show.
This is a lot to type. I'm just going to point this out because I take notes during the show.
She had a lot to type in this one. It was hard to keep track of even tweeting it. There was a lot going on.
Yeah, there was a ton going on in this opening segment. It was really well done. Great to see. Really hot. Got everybody into the show. Sort of had Bully showing that cocky confidence that we all expect from him. But also at the same time, well, he seemed a little nervous, didn't he?
The Bully seems very nervous about going in to fight little old Chris Sabin later in the show.
Because, well, Saban is confident. Saban is prepared.
Mm-hmm. But we'll get to that in just a little while.
Yes. Sorry. I'm opening popcorn. Deal with it, y'all.
We go. Bobby Roode is roving around backstage, and the cameraman talks Bobby Roode about his past problems at Destination X. And he basically said the past is the past and the future is now because he needs the points at the Bound for Glory series to once again become the TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
To which I asked Rock, can Bobby beat Magnus at this stage?
He needs to get in like the top four at the very least, and he should win by like submission all the time. And well, that's the only way he would probably get into the top four.
Pretty much, yeah. After this, we come back from the break, and we have Bobby Roode taking on Austin Aries in the Bound for Glory series. This was a great match. Lots of back and forth, lots of counters. These two know each other so well.
Yeah, they do, and they put on a hell of a match. Hell of an opening contest. They went about 12 minutes. Really good stuff. Aries continued over and over again, hit the brainbuster, but every time, Roode would find a way to get out of it. And then finally, he was able to hit the brainbuster for the victory. The one spot in this match where, like, Aries, like, drove Roode right into the steps and it looked like, oh my god, Bobby Roode is dead.
But not. He popped right back up.
It took him a little. It took him a while. Aries had to come out and get him, but he looked dead for a little bit. This was a really good match, and this proved that last year was not a fluke. Austin Aries can beat Bobby Roode.
And what's interesting is Austin seemed like he was working a little bit of face tonight.
He did seem to play the face role in this matchup, and he did change up his beard a little bit, too.
He did. He got rid of the goatee. Mm-hmm. We're now just to a well, I don't even know what the hell it's called, a square on his chin.
We'll go with that. So Ares earned 7 points, and add that into your abacuses and figure out where he is in the standing board.
But that's not the interesting part. The interesting part happened after the match.
Oh, after the match. Bobby Roode, well, was a little frustrated.
Bobby had an upset, and he broke a very tiny TV.
He broke the monitor, the monitor they used. He threw chairs around. He was in quite a mood. Bobby Roode was pissed off. He was upset that he is losing in this Bound for Glory series after winning it a couple years ago.
Bobby, at least you're not Joseph Park.
At least you're not Joseph Park. This is very true.
Who I love to death, but yes, at least you're not Joseph Park. Anyway, we go cut to the backstage after Bobby has his tantrum, and we see a reunion between LAX, Homicide, and Hernandez. They're back together, at least for the time being. And then there's a really awkward moment where Chavo walks in the shot.
Yeah, Hernandez. Hi, Homicide. I'm Chavo. I'm the wannabe. Either way, Chavo says, pretty sure that he will win the X Division title. Hernandez will win the Bound for Glory series to win the TNA title. So next year, this time, they'll be facing each other for the TNA title. Yeah.
Which Hernandez is like, right.
Yeah. Right.
But anyway, after this, we have another backstage segment where we have basically Anderson address where Steve has gone. And essentially, Steve had a mad because Nux didn't vote for him, and he quit.
He turned in his cut after the fact.
Yeah, which is basically he quit. So, bye, Steve!
Bye. Nice knowing you.
Come back soon.
Maybe.
And then, of course, lastly, or I should say after this, not lastly, because we're not even halfway through the show yet, but we have Homicide taking on Petey and Sanjay.
Solid three-way between these guys. Petey looked like he got hurt a little bit from the Gringo Killer, I believe it was called.
Yeah, it looks like Petey got dropped on his head pretty bad because he rolled out of the ring and he was out of the match after that. And this was a little halting at first. They were a little stop and start, but once they got their rhythm going, it was a very solid, very good match. Very enjoyable until Petey got dropped on his head. And then I was like, they killed the Petey!
They're killing off the Canadians, one Canadian at a time.
I'm telling you.
But in the end, Sanjay Dutt gets the win, and he is going to be involved in the three-way Ultimate X match next week for the brand new TNA X Division title, which is another piece of news. They have a new belt.
We'll talk about afterwards.
Which has left a lot of people, well, it's 50-50 on the reaction, at least according to the Facebooks and the Twitters that we have seen tonight.
Really like it or you really hate it, and there aren't a lot of in-betweens.
Yeah, so we'll get into that after Impact. Because we're just fully loaded show tonight. So yeah, Sanjay Dutt moves on to the Ultimate X match next week, live on Impact.
Yes. And then, of course, after this, we have a break, and then we go right into another match, where we have Chavo and Kenny King taking on Manic. Another really nice, solid match.
Nice little solid match they put together. It was, you know, it showed off their you know, usefulness, and you could tell Chavo was a bit slower than the other two. And Manic was able to pull out the victory, and he will be another participant in the Ultimate X match next week for the title.
Ooh. Sorry, trying to chew popcorn and salt at the same time. Backstage, after the match, we get Sting, and he says tonight is the reason that they brought the family back together. Tonight they're ready to take out the Aces and Eights and Bully Ray. Main Event Mafia is psyched up. They're ready to go. They're ready to kick somebody's ass.
They're ready to fight, basically.
Yeah, they are. In their nice suits, I should mention. They were all very dapperly dressed. Joe got a better suit, thank God. Except for Rampage. Rampage is going casual, but you know what?
That's right.
When you're that much of a badass, I think you can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we get another replay of the Saban video package, and then we get a pep talk from Hogan.
Well, brother, when you give someone a pep talk, brother, it's never a good thing. But he basically said, gave him the same speech he's given other people before. Hogan told Saban to bring home the title. It's your time. I like the segment, but Hogan's the kiss of death when it comes to pep talks. Ain't that right, Jeff Hardy?
Yeah. It was kind of one of those things, you know, where it's like, yay, Hogan's giving Saban a pep talk. He really, really doesn't need it.
No, he really, really doesn't.
So, anyway, moving on from this, we have, if I can find where I left my spot, yes, we have Main Event Mafia. They are on their way to the ring. They're in the ring, I should say. And Sting says they are custom made for tonight because they're looking for the Aces and Eights. They're the whole reason that they came back together was to destroy the Aces and Eights. Angle promises chaos and carnage. He says that that's what the Aces brought to TNA when they showed up. And because of that, they're gunning for them. He touts all of their accomplishments before he says that they're ready. Magnus then reiterates the statement and he names them all off and says they're ready. And then, of course, he asks the crowd if they are ready. And, of course, the crowd is, yay!
Woo! Yay!
Magnus calls them out, but, well, no aces. Anderson comes on the screen. He makes a crap about his eyes being up there. Very clever. He says that aces do things on their own time, and, well, they have to conserve energy for the party tonight, because, you know, Boldy's totally going to win.
Yeah, they want to have a big night out partying and all that fun stuff.
And Anderson, you know, says, well, why don't you guys come back here?
Yeah, why don't you just come back and fight us in our spot instead of us coming to fight you?
So it should have been Danger Will Robinson. Where's the robot with the flailing arms when you need it? But Joe takes the mic and he gives Zito a confident smirk. He asks Rampage if he's thirsty, and Rampage is always thirsty, and so is Joe. And he says, well, we're going to come back there. We're going to kick a little ass. We're going to drink your beers, and we're going to stop you from screwing over Chris Sabin. Main Event Mafia accepts the Aces challenge, and they head backstage. But it was all for naught, because, well, the Aces are just a little bit smarter, and they seem to have laid a trap.
A trap, you say?
A trap most foul. You have the Aces and Eights jump the Main Event Mafia, in which they single out Kurt Angle. They throw him in the back of a pickup truck, and the truck drives away, while you have the rest of the Main Event Mafia locked in a back room.
No! Those darn Aces and Eights up to no good.
Those bastards. And, well, the insults just continue because once we come back from the break, we have Bully on the phone. He congratulates the mysterious truck driver before giving props to West for taking one for the team because apparently West got matched up with Rampage Jackson. That poor kid. I was really surprised he was kind of still standing, mm-hmm. But go Wes.
Yeah, go Wes.
Go Wes. So apparently that earned him some bunny points with Bully Ray. He then tells the driver to take Kurt Angle to a prearranged spot that they talked about earlier in the day, and, well, make Angle an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah, I like this whole little segment, and it was an interesting way to get rid of them. For the moment.
For the moment, yeah. I would agree. It was kind of one of those things of, well, how are you going to take care of this whole situation? Because you're not going to have it obviously be a confrontation. That's just too easy. And I like how they did this, where they have basically the Aces be smarter than the Mafia.
Right, and I have one complaint, but we'll get into that in a bit.
All right, well, I hope you're not going to complain about this, because, well, the last and final qualifying match for the X title next week was Rockstar Spud taking on Rubix and Trent Beretta?
Hey, it's Trent!
Holy crap! We found him!
They finally found Trent! You no longer have to use the hashtag Where's Trent. He was on Impact!
He was on TNA all along.
Ah, there he was, and he's now known as Greg something or other. Marcia Sculo or something. I don't know. I butcher his name. Okay, this match. Okay, I got something to talk about in this match.
Okay, go.
Rockstar Spud is small.
Yeah!
He's small. Really, really, really small. I don't think he's going to work. Because he's really small, and they have a lot of small guys, and he's small.
He's small for the X Division.
I didn't think he was... I don't remember him being that small, but he must have worked against someone who was as small as him, because he didn't look that small when he first debuted. He is small. That said, this match was fine, but... Rockstar Spud is small. But in the end, where's Trent? I know where he is. He's going to the next week's show. He won this match.
Yes, so congratulations, Trent Beretta, Greg Whatchamajigger. You are vying for the brand spanking new X title.
Right.
Which we'll talk about in a bit. And up next, well, we have the roving cameraman. He sneaks up on Bully Ray.
You kind of mentioned this already, about the offer and not the camera's use.
I did. I don't know why I put it twice. Anyway, sorry, my bad.
You put it twice, but we now go into, well, some hardcore country.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And we have some audio for hardcore country.
Yay!
Aren't I amazing? I'm such a giver. I really am. You know? I can't help myself, but honestly, that's what being your heartbreaking, history-making knockout.
Should mention right here before this, because apparently they didn't show this in the clip. She talked about last week. They showed a monumental moment that everyone's talking about, the most heartbreaking moment in the Knockouts history or whatever, the history-making moment, and it was her performance in Nashville. Was the epic event they showed. So this is where we pick up after that clip. If it would play.
Champion of the century is all...
Man, is she self-centered? You think so? I'll tell you what, Mike, I was there. I was at that show, and yeah, she had a big crowd, and yeah, they were really digging what she was doing, but the fact she came away from that thinking that was actually history, Knockouts history. History Knockouts was Neil Kim in the ladder match last week against Derek Terrell.
Yeah, you've been really funny and really delusional. Delusional if you actually think that people were talking about your stupid performance last week. The only thing that people were talking about was my dominant history-making performance last week in that ladder match against Taryn Terrell. And the only thing that's going to make this package even more perfect is when I get that title back next week, honey.
First off, Gail, there's a clause in my contract that states I need a certain amount of space and oxygen to compete at optimum performance, and right now, honey, you are invading both of them. Yes. Yes.
Fantastic.
So just step it back a few notches. Thank you. Now, I will give credit where credit is due. Your match last week, it was a solid two, right? Two and a half, maybe?
Oh.
Right? But you asked all the reviewers and all the newspapers and music magazines across the world, my performance was 5 stars.
totally five stars. I mean, count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh! Well, look out! Oh, high heels. Guess we don't have to wait for next week because it is on between Gail Kim and Mickey James.
I can't wait for this one.
They brawl around the ring. They brawl for a while. When the shoes fly off, Lindsay, business picks up.
Oh, honey, when the shoes come off, the earrings come off, and you hand your purse to somebody, yeah, it's on.
It is on, yes.
And this was fantastic.
Very, very fun segment with the knockouts. Mickey is, again, fantastic in what she's been doing. Very, very well done. Gail is on point, as always, as well.
Yeah, this is just, they're doing wonderful things, and it's just, you have Mickey really playing the perfect role right now, and she's just a self-centered bitch, but then you have Gail playing the same role.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's like, it's bitch versus bitch, and it's just on.
Right. This is not Tweet of the Week yet, but I want to read out a tweet before we move on.
Okay.
From Lance Storm to Gail Kim, how much glue did you use to keep your ass in that dress? Someone replies, exactly the right amount. Storm replied, depends on your point of view. The guy replied, someone else replies, I was just there and I had a nice point of view. Gail Kim finally responds, FYI, they were shorts. I always shorts under minis. There you go. It's an early tweet, but we'll get into Tweet of the Week in a little bit. But yeah, that was a fantastic segment.
After this, we have basically, well, Austin Aries give Chris Sabin a pep talk.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Where, you know, he says, I did it, so you can do it. And, well, we need to complete the circle of life.
Yep, pretty much. Sabin beat Aries. Aries beat Bully, so Sabin has to beat Bully.
Yes, and that will complete the circle of life.
Right. Aries said it might not mean much, but I'm pulling for you.
Yeah. So I think we're now seeing a face turn for Austin Aries.
For the moment, I think he's playing the tweener role.
Possibly. Well, you know, he could go back to being a jerk once Sabin wins. If Sabin wins, well. We know if Saban wins, because we're getting ready to talk about it. But before we get there, we see AJ Styles. He's sitting in a dark space somewhere. He's all gloomy and moody. He says that, well, what does he think about the X Division? What does he think about? He thinks about himself. He's been there. He's done that. He put it on the map. He then talks about how next week he's got Jeff Hardy in the Bound for Glory series. And he kind of scoffs because, well, Hardy's a fan favorite. He's a hero. And according to Styles, TNA is no place for a hero. He vows that he's going to take his points in the Bound for Glory series.
So next week on the show, we get Styles and Hardy, which should be really good, and a crowning of a new X Division champion in Ultimate X, which they hyped.
Yes.
But now it's time. It's main event time.
It is main event time, and well, hoo-hoo-hoo.
The World Heavyweight Championship's on the lines. Bully Ray defends against Chris Sabin. The match started out with Bully Ray trying to intimidate Chris Sabin, and basically he told him his game plan. He's going to go after his knees, and you know that's how I'm going to beat you. I'm going to take out your knees. I'm telling you what you do. I'm doing. I'm taking out your knees. And then Chris Sabin got up in his face and said, I'm going to beat you and be new World Heavyweight Champion. Love that opening stage. Loved it.
It was really nice.
They have a nice little, you know, opening bit where they're, well, Bully Ray is slapping the crap out of Chris Sabin's chest. Oh my God, did you see how red it was?
He had welts. What are you talking about?
He had welts. He had cuts. And bruises. It was beat red. There was one of them that I even felt that he just hit him so hard. I was like, Ooh, that's gonna hurt tomorrow.
Bully doesn't pull his punches. Or at least his chops. He doesn't pull them.
Saban fired back with some nice kicks of his own to Bully Ray. They had a nice little exchange going, and then... Oh, see, we forgot one thing, and I'll get to it now. Before the match started, we saw Kurt Angle return.
We did. He got the truck back.
Yeah, he got the truck back and returned. That was my problem with it. It's like, you could have added some suspense to it and not shown Kurt Angle showing up. Could have had him showing up during the match. It would have kind of added sort of some more intrigue. But that's my only complaint. He was gone and came back really quick. They should have did it, you know, they should have added more distance between it. At the very least. But anyway, as I was pointing out, the Aces and Eights come out from the backstage area, and then the Main Event Mafia returned as they were, you know, let out by Kurt Angle. And this is where we have a first commercial break. The Main Event Mafia and Aces and Eights surround the ring.
And an atmosphere fills the room.
Yeah, so it got really interesting throughout the match. Bully Ray started taunting Rampage Jackson, which was funny. But the story was, as Bully Ray said from the beginning, I'm going to take out your knee, and he just worked on his leg over and over and over again, pulled off the knee braces, pulled off his entire boot. He was working over that leg, and he did a hell of a job. Saban did a hell of a job selling the injury as well. This was fantastic.
This was so well done.
There was a spot where he tried to whip him into the corner. He just fell over. But Saban, you know, the man he is, he has a lot of fight in him. He blocked the bully bomb at one point. Was able to kick Bully right in the head. There was a missile dropkick spot where Saban came off the top rope. He nailed Bully Ray, who fell into the referee, so we get the ref bump of the match. And then that's where things got interesting. The Aces and Eights tried to get involved, where Mr. Anderson gave Bully Ray the hammer, but Magnus came in the ring, and then they all started a brawl, and they were all moving to the back. So it was Bully Ray left with the hammer, a referee who was down. Bully Ray goes to hit Chris Sabin with the hammer. Saban blocks it, stops it from happening. Saban goes for the hammer. Bully Ray stops him from doing it. Gets him up for a powerbomb, but, oh look, it's in Saban's hand. And right into the head goes the hammer to Bully Ray. Bully Ray is down. Chris Sabin's on top of Bully Ray. The ref wakes up. 1, 2, 3. Your new TNA heavyweight champion of the world, Chris Sabin.
Yay!
Hell of a match. Hell of a match. And it stunned everyone. Chris Sabin walks out your new TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, they told a fantastic story in the match. Sabin came out looking incredibly strong. He took an absolute whooping from Bully.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just good God, the shots they were getting in on each other. And it was wonderful to see. There was a lot of back and forth. The tension at ringside between the Aces and the Mafia was nice. And then it's like when you saw it all disintegrate, it's like, oh, here you go, where it's going to be some kind of DQ finish where Saban's going to win the match, but he's not going to win the title. It's like when that hammer came in, it's like, here we go. Because you think it's like, okay, well, because at one point I thought, oh crap, the ref's going to wake up, he's going to see the hammer in Saban's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's going to see the hammer on the mat, Bully down, and Saban standing there, and he's going to call the DQ, and it didn't happen. And when he took him up for the Bully Bomb, and he brought the hammer down on Bully, it's like, oh, here we go, they're actually going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So now Chris Sabin is the man to catch. It is a long time coming for him. Huge congratulations.
So, for the moment, Chris Sabin is your TNA World Heavyweight Champion. How long will he hold the title is the biggest question mark out there for TNA fans. Will it be a month? Will it be two? Will he be main eventing Bound for Glory as the World Heavyweight Champion?
That's really hard to say. Just because now there is a balance in power where Bully is still president, but he is no longer a champion, so he doesn't have that complete absolute control anymore, and this may be where we see Anderson start to wrest the power from Bully, and we see that struggle between those two begin to happen.
Possibly. But we shall see how it plays out. But let's get into this entire show. This was a fantastic event. This was a nice change of pace. It felt like a big deal, this event.
They did a really nice job with it. Like I said at the beginning, it had that big show feel. They touted the fact that, oh, it's a pay-per-view quality show and we're going to give it to you for free. And it really was a pay-per-view quality show. It was really well done. You had just the right amount of people on there. And what was nice was it did feature the X Division. They brought stars back from the past. They had present stars. And then they had future, potential future stars in Rockstar Spud and a few others. So it was really nice that they did that. They made the effort to bring people in. They made the effort to make it feel like something and mean something.
Right.
As opposed to it maybe not feeling that as much.
Right. So that was Impact, a.k.a. Destination X. Let's get into this title a little bit. What do you think?
You know, honestly, to me, it feels really, really generic. I'm sorry, I'm not a fan of it. I don't really like it, and I hate to go negative on it, but in just looking at it, it looks like they went to one of those build-a-belt websites where you pay $500 and they build you a custom title belt, and it just looks kind of cheap, and it, I don't know, I really don't like it. I really don't like the blue. There have been a lot of comments that it looks like it's based off the Divas title, and I can see the comparison, but I can't at the same time. Like, I like the elongated style of the belt. I think what really bothers me is the blue.
Yeah, the all red on the with the red X, it always popped with the belt in both versions of it. This doesn't really stand out. We'll have to see what it looks like on TV, but in a picture, it doesn't really pop or stand out. It has the old Intercontinental title feel to it, the one they used in the Attitude Era and up until a couple years ago, that type of feel with the globes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a lot of people have been saying. People are, it's the return of the old WWE IC title with the NXT look to it a little bit. I don't know. Some people like it, some people don't. As Lindsay said, I'll read a quote from Alan Wojcik. Looks like the Divas title, but it will have to do. It's different. They want to reinvent the division, give it a new belt. That's fine. I want to see what it looks like on TV and how it stands out. Right now, it just doesn't stand out to me.
They were showing it hanging from the rafters, or they were showing it hanging from the Ultimate X setup. It was up there at one point, and it looked okay, but again, there's nothing that really makes it pop. And that's always been something unique about their belts that I've liked, is that in one way or another, all their belts pop out. Either from the leather that they put them on, like the women's title or the now defunct television title or even the Knockouts tag titles to the X belt where they had that red enamel on there, and it just really made it stand out, and it was very eye-catching. It wasn't very plain and generic looking. It popped.
Right.
And I could always appreciate that because it's like you definitely knew what title that was. Mm-hmm. And they've always done a really nice job of being able to differentiate between their titles where they don't all look the same. And this, just to me, it feels very status quo. It feels very WWE.
Yeah.
And I just, and like I said, I always liked how their belts were different, how their belts always stood out. And to me, this just does nothing for me. It's very blasé.
Right. I would agree.
And I hate to be so down on him, and I hate to bash the title, and I'm sorry if I'm pissing anybody off, but I just really don't care for it at all. Really don't like it. But we'll see how it looks next week. Because it could have been a bad picture, but I'm doubting it.
I want to see how it stands out on TV, and we'll see. But we'll see how it goes, and it's the new belt, and so we'll see where things go from there.
Yes.
It is very subjective, as Russell Fanatic puts it. It is very subjective, and, well, it's radio. Best way to put it. It's the internet. Everyone's going to have an opinion, too.
It is, yeah. And I think everybody's going to have their opinion, whether they either like it or they hate it. And for a lot of people, like I said, there isn't a lot of in-between. People, for the most part, but pretty much from what I'm seeing, not a lot of people care for it. Obviously, it's the internet. We hate everything. So, but in this case, yeah, I've kind of got to agree with them. It's just, it's very, very generic.
So, that's our Destination X recap. That's our, you know, review of the Impact new TNA X Division title. So, I say we had to break, Lindsay.
I say we had to break, too. And when we come back, we will have Tweet of the Week. We will have discussion. And we will be talking a little bit about this past week's Money in the Bank. So, are you listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com? And we will be right back.
And now, haiku time, with Rene Dasso Diane, some dumb as you get.
Cheap Heat Radio. Not at all ripped off. Truly, we would never lie.
Opinions mixed. Many arguments will be had, but later is a slot.
Wild Talk Radio. Home of Cheap Heat Radio. Inside Braden's belly.
Views expressed within, only those of guy talking. Standard boilerplate.
Got an indie show? Promote it on our show now. Many more people.
Wrestling gets discussed. Pop culture references made. Cheap Heat Radio.
Cheap Heat Radio. Our thoughts may not be true, but your sports team does suck.
We need ad ideas. Haikus are running their course. Next time the hosts rap.
Cheap Heat Radio. Join us at 8:30 time. 'Cause what else is on?
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gift bang or something. Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs fans. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I was like, what is this, like a
fucking martial art or this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot. But,
watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then. What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Why are you Gundam style over here? That's the horse you have, that's the horse you have. Not the pelvic thrust. That Mr. Keeley in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't know.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I gotta play something else, Rock. I'm going to wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Margarita.
Oh, I hate that song. Rock, I think you just replaced the song in my head with the worst song. Now I'm watching some Hispanic dude do it in my head. Oh, now it's being cross-referenced with the Asian dude. Oh, they're having a mass Macarena.
Margarita
style. Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Hey everybody, this is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara, the one with the baddest, sickest finisher, Widow Peak, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com. Go there for all your memorabilia needs. If you're just joining us, you missed all the news from this week, and there is quite a lot of it. And, of course, our Destination X review. But now we're going to have a little fun. We're going to take a little break. We're going to go into our favorite segment, which, of course, is Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
You want to go first?
Sure, and by the way, I love in this picture you showed me how Bray Wyatt in gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does. He travels in gimmick. Anyway, Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week. Dolph Ziggler. You know that superhero that was cool before the accident that turned him super? Because, yeah, I'm that one. CM Punk. At I Am Michael Fan tweeted him and said, ran into CM Punk tonight and said hello, then almost walked into a street pole. Pretty solid encounter, to which he replies, almost? Great Khali. He tweets, I am fine at the gym. To which Wei Barrett replies, good. We were getting worried, big guy. And Chris Jericho. Somebody tweets him and says, at I am Jericho and John Bon Jovi have exactly the same hair these days. Jericho responds, mine's better. And that's it.
That's it? Okay. At WWE Road Dogg, you know, Road Dogg, by the way, he's now part of WWE Creative. That's another piece of news. He's officially a member of the Creative team. So congratulations to Mr. Brian James. Anyway, he tweets, the Wyatt family scares me and my daughter. I need the Shield to protect us from them. Does anyone know how to get in touch with them?
1-800-JUSTICE?
There you go. AJ Lee, every time Caitlyn spears me, an angel loses its wings. Someone tweets, AJ, did you teach at Heel Ziggler how to impersonate somebody? And she replies, we're really into role-playing. Well, that should be, we really were into role-playing since they've kind of broken up now. But that was from Friday on SmackDown. Ardo O'Cal tweets, hey Kane, want to hang out after the show? AJ's next phone call. Hashtag Raw. Zack Ryder, I love wrestling memes. Because they're always about you and not in the positive way. Heel Ziggler goes, cosplay doesn't mean Cosby show roleplay, but I have all these nippleless multicolored sweaters. Hashtag Comic Con stand up. It's so hot. Heel Ziggler continues, it's so hot at Comic Con. All the Chewbaccas got Brazilians. Just kidding, just kidding. They couldn't get anyone. Hashtag Comic Con stand up. Heel Ziggler, don't forget the real superheroes, moms, for dropping their middle-aged son off a block away from San Diego Comic-Con. And finally, Will Wheaton. The guys in the tiny smart car who are blasting gangster rap are the platonic idea for ideal of not having a fuck to give. And that's Tweet of the Week.
Yay! So we're going to talk just a little bit real quickly about Money in the Bank. You can hear the full recap of it on WTR this past Sunday night. Check out the archives for that. But we're going to kind of talk about our favorites, our highs, our lows, and really what we thought was successful in the pay-per-view.
Right.
I have to say that at least for the majority of the show, for anybody that didn't see the pre-show, go back and watch it, because it's kind of amazing.
It's on the YouTubes at WWE Fan Nation, the match. That was a hell of a match they had. It was, as we said Sunday, it was a slow starter, but the little ending sequence, the last 5-6 minutes of that match was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a really hot opener. It was a nice way to start the show. Nobody was really expecting much from it because it was the pre-show. So everybody was like, eh, who cares? It's the pre-show match. And they really went out there and proved everybody wrong and proved to everybody of, oh, hey, yeah, this is going to count.
Right.
And so I have to really applaud them for that. And basically they kind of said to everybody in the back, okay, yeah, follow that.
Right. So, I'll ask this question. What was your favorite match that was actually on the pay-per-view itself?
Honestly, my favorite match, or at least the one that I got the most enjoyment out of, has to be the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank.
Why is that?
It was the first match on the show, so it kind of set the standard for the actual pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And you had a lot of really great action. Cody was hugely impressive in this match. Dean was impressive. And even Swagger and Cesaro were impressive in this match. I think the only people that really kind of weren't were Sandow and Fandango.
But even Fandango had a nice spot. He did a nice couple of spots in the match. He did a nice flipping leg drop onto a ladder, which was really nice.
Yeah, and we saw a lot of really great action, and basically it's these guys went out there and they proved that they're hungry, they all want this. They really made the match feel important, because it's like, oh, well, you know, I'm just in here because I'm getting a payday kind of thing. It was, no, we really want that contract, and you really got that feeling from them that that's what they wanted, that's why they were there, and that was their purpose, was to get that briefcase. And so they really put on a very spectacular ladder match, because there was a ton of high risk in this match.
There was high risk in the match, and there was also a lot of innovation, and that's the one thing that stood out in that match for me. They were trying to be innovative, and they did a very good job of being innovative with the certain moves and spots they did in the match.
Right, and it's kind of one of those things where it's... they proved everybody wrong, because I think this was the match where we were all going, eh, nobody of any really real significance or consequences in it. It's for the World Heavyweight Championship. Nobody cares. So the match is probably going to be, you know, craptastic at best. And they walked in there, and I think they shut a lot of people up. And I have to applaud that they proved all of us wrong, you know, as far as the internet skeptics go.
Right.
Where it's, hey, we're going to go out there, we're going to have a fantastic match, and we're going to tell you to STFU, and yeah, that's about it.
That's about it. We're going to just tell you to shut the fuck up, and we're going to have an awesome match. And that's so what they did.
Yeah, so I have to applaud them. So what was your favorite match?
I got to kind of lean to the same match coming in this. Since we've talked about it, I'll go with the second match. I know it was the other Money in the Bank match, which was really good. I thought the crowd was really into that one. And that one was more storytelling throughout the match. Especially when it came to Van Damme in the beginning, everyone was focused in on him, and they all, you know, went after him to start, and that was kind of funny. And it was just, it was one of those matches that you could tell these are the main eventers, and that they know what they're doing, and they were out to prove, oh, look, we're all-stars, and this is why we're all-stars. And it was more hard-hitting than the first match, because they everyone kind of sort of was hurt. Sheamus was really hurt. His one leg blew up after the match. They were, you know, two different sizes. CM Punk had staples put in his head. Van Damme had staples put in his head. They were physical in this one.
But you're not talking about how Punk got the staples.
No, I was not talking how he got the staples. That's because of a letter from Heyman repeated times to the head. Which probably wasn't planned. Well, they probably didn't tell the office it was planned. And Punk went, here's my head, hit it, Paul.
Something tells me when it comes to those two, they don't tell the office a lot of things.
No, they probably really don't. But yeah, that to me, if we're not counting the first Money Bank, that one was the second favorite match of the show.
I can agree with that. I think the twist at the end made it that much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, it's the All-Stars match, so they're not going to take as many risks, although they did take quite a few. Because if you think about it, you have all your main eventers in there, except for Cena.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and Kane. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, well, they're probably not going to take a lot of stupid risks, but they will take some. And they did, and it was a perfectly fine match. I liked that they did not replace Kane, and you only had six guys in there. I think that was just the perfect amount.
Yeah, when it comes to ladder matches, six is a nice round number, I guess is the best way to put it. Seven is a little too much.
Seven, it's, you've got the odd man out, because it's like six, you can pair them up in pairs of three, and they can alternate who's fighting who. Seven, it's, you've got one guy who doesn't have a partner. So it's a little bit more awkward. And they solved that problem by taking Kane out and having Damian Sandow hide behind the announce table for half the match. So, what was your least favorite match?
Least favorite match? I'm trying to remember the rest of the show. Miz and Curtis Axel really didn't live up to the hype. It wasn't anything special. But worst match on the show was Jericho Ryback.
Yeah, I'm going to agree on that one. It's bad when Jericho can't save a match. It really is.
Yeah, he tried his hardest. He really tried his hardest to pull a good match out of Ryback, and the crowd wanted no part of Ryback, and there's a reason why. It wasn't a very good match.
No, it wasn't. They tried really hard, but it was just, it's kind of one of those things that I think you really saw Ryback's limitations in this match. Because you put him with someone extremely versatile in Jericho. He can adapt to any style. He's really good at pulling out the best in people and making people look like a million bucks. And he just could not do it with Ryback, just because I think you saw how limited Ryback was.
Yeah, you really did.
He doesn't have the move set that he really should. And he's very just generic and stock standard and... just, he was really not impressive, and it's like, yeah, you give Ryback a win, but at this stage, does it really even count, or does it matter?
Right.
So.
Yeah, pretty much. So, from top to bottom, the show was a pretty good show from top to bottom. The WWE title match was fine, the world title match was pretty good. And the other matches, they were there. The women's match didn't live up to the previous match, and even the knockouts matches of the last couple months. So that was a little bit disappointing. But how would you grade the show overall?
I would give it, honestly, a really solid B. With the exception of Ryback and Jericho, everybody had a good showing. Everybody went out there and at least tried their hardest, and I can't blame that. The only downers were the Brad Maddox segment and the Ryback-Jericho match. And that was pretty much it. The rest of it was really good. I was kind of disappointed we didn't get more of the Wyatts on the show. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to have seen something from them on the pay-per-view, but I understand why they didn't have them on, especially since what they did Monday night.
Right, but at least they featured them in a video package, so people just checking out the pay-per-view would know who they were.
Right, so there's definitely that, but I'm high on the Wyatts right now, so I would have liked to have seen more of the Wyatts on the show, but I understand why they weren't on the show, I totally get that. But other than that, I thought it was a really good pay-per-view. It was a nice offering. Mm-hmm. It wasn't their strongest, it wasn't their weakest by far, but it was a really nice offering. And what was important felt important, I think. And also, at least as far as AJ and Caitlyn go, I think they were going to have a really hard time living up to all the hype surrounding knockouts right now, because Gail and Taryn are just absolutely tearing it up.
Right.
You know, and now we're going to have Gail and Mickey go, which is just going to be that much better, given their resumes. And just AJ and Caitlyn can't compete with that. There's just... no way. As much as I love both of them, they just don't have the credentials.
No, they can't. They really can't compete with them at this point.
And you've got girls doing Last Knockout Standing matches and ladder matches and brawling and that kind of thing, the Divas don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll occasionally brawl, and they've had AJ and Caitlyn do that. But overall, you will never see the Divas do a ladder match. You'll never see them do a last person standing match. You'll never see them do a cage match ever again. They don't have the will or the want or the care to do that with them.
No, they really don't.
Which is disappointing.
It is very disappointing. You know, someone like AJ would probably want to be a part of something like that.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of wish, you know, you would see... like, if you could take the Knockouts division and you could stick it in WWE and have it be as good as it is in TNA in WWE, that would make me happy. Because I would love to see girls like ODB and Gail and Tara and Mickey get used properly and have really good competition to go up against. And them actually give women's wrestling a chance. Because as we've seen, if you give women's wrestling a chance, wow, it can actually be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it can be good. Imagine just that.
Imagine that. But how would you grade the pay-per-view?
I'd give it a B-. Good wrestling, nothing. Yeah, two really good matches. Beyond that, everything else was what you expected, and some cases, you know, below what you expected. So I'd give it a B-.
I can see that. So, yes, so if you haven't checked it out, go check it out. It's on replay now, or if you get it from other methods, go get it through your other method, which we will not name.
Available now at WWE.com.
Yep, exactly. Ding! So, now, let's kind of transition into our discussion slash question of the night for tonight, which it centers around WWE 2K14, which, as we know, the slogan is Become Immortal. There was the announcement of Warrior being in the game as a DLC item. You're also going to get Bruno. You're going to get several other legends, and this kind of begs the question of, we were sitting here and we were talking, and it's like, well, what other cool things could they do with the game? Because eventually they're going to run out of quote-unquote themes, because last year was Attitude Era.
Right.
This year is Legends. So what can they do next year? And one of the things that we kind of got talking on was what other Legends could be in the game, which I just thought of one, Iron Sheik.
I thought of that last night, too. I was going to bring it up on the show, so yeah.
Same one brain. Same brain thing. Another one that we talked about was the factions, which we'll get into, but a third one that we kind of discussed that I'm sure everybody will hate was the idea of an alternate universe.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of what brought this on was you have these, the Attitude Era mode in 13 where you see these key moments in history as far as what changed the Monday Night Wars, what helped to shape the WWE into the present day product that it is. And at least to me, I think what would be really cool is, well, what if you had a mode in the video game where, say, you could change the story of those moments and say, you know, like we were giving the example, say Mankind never wins the WWE title, say the Monday Night Wars never switch and Turner beats WWE, and think about that infamous moment in 2000 where you have Vince McMahon make that announcement, I bought WCW, but then you show Shane on the Titantron at Nitro saying, I now own WCW. And just imagine that moment if it were Ted Turner standing there on Raw going, I now own WWE.
That would be that would be a moment. And the way I pictured it to go to tell a story is, if that's the one story you want to base it off of that, and that's your opening moment of, you have an animated Ted Turner and someone do a Ted Turner voice, and, you know, there's a person out there that can do the voice. And do, you know, as Lindsay said, you have Ted Turner standing there in the split screen of, you know, I now own WWE. And then you go back and you lead up to the events that, you know, transpire to get to that point. And you build it for the next, you know, 2 years of story. You flash back 2 years, and the things don't go WWF's way, or, you know, things in the universe don't go the same way for both companies, which lead to WCW being the dominant force and WWE going under. WWE will never tell that story, but just imagine if they did. That would be an interesting story to tell. But you could do this with any moment in time. You could do it with the Austin heel turn. You could do it with Steve Austin. Say Steve Austin doesn't win the WWE title for the first time. Say Steve Austin doesn't win King of the Ring and Jake Roberts wins King of the Ring. Where is Steve Austin now?
Say Austin McMahon. Say Austin loses Austin McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say, another one that I brought up, just because it's for my own squeeworthy, is say The Undertaker and the Ministry of Darkness defeat the corporation, and The Undertaker takes over the WWF, and right, he gets control of the company.
There are so many different things, and you could do alternate endings, and that's where you become really creative, and it's like, what if it played out that way? And we're all storytellers and fan fiction writers. We've all done it. if you don't say you have, if you say you haven't, then you're lying to yourself, because somewhere in your brain, you've rewritten history to the way you want it, whether it's on paper or not. You've rewritten history no matter what. And rewriting history is always a fun thing to do. We had a segment a long time ago where we were rewriting history storylines on the show, and it's like, what if it was in a video game and you can play out different things? And maybe WWE eventually buys WCW, but what if it doesn't happen the way it did? What if it turns out differently? What if Steve Austin joins the corporation from the beginning? He becomes the corporate champion. What if The Rock never becomes The Rock? What if Mick Foley never wins? There becomes no, and you know, and the Mick Foley never beats The Rock, so there is no feud there. There is no Rock and Sock connection. Oh wait, and that's anyway.
It's kind of one of those things where it could be an interesting mode in, you know, maybe where you decide, where you reach that moment in history, and it's, well, do you want to go the conventional path, or do you want to go the path of maybe how it could be? Because we always hear the rumors in the stories about how a storyline was supposed to go a certain way, and it didn't due to some kind of factor.
Right.
Either fan reaction, or they came up with a better idea, or the wrestlers didn't want to do it, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a more logical conclusion to the story than what we got. And they could take some of the more infamous stories and maybe that didn't reach that conclusion and take it to where it was supposed to go. So you actually get to see how the story was originally supposed to play out versus how it actually played out. And that just, at least for me, that would be something really interesting to watch and see, is kind of see these key moments in history and sort of play devil's advocate and wonder, well, what could have happened or what would have happened if, say, this one thing never happened.
Because if you think about it, one item always can change the course of history forever.
Yeah, it's like, if just alone, Mick Foley never winning the WWE Championship, that was, or I'm sorry, WWF. I'm so used to saying WWE now. Damn it.
It doesn't matter. When wins the championship.
When he wins the championship, that was the turning point in the Monday Night Wars, because they gave away the outcome, and it's everybody switched over to see Foley win it because it's Foley is such a fan favorite. Well, say he never wins that. Does WWE ever figure out a way to get the one-upsmanship on WCW, or was WCW already sinking at the time of
right.
that win?
It's like, if Mick Foley never wins the title on that night, Tony Schiavone never goes on the air and says, their champion is going to win, Mick Foley is going to win their championship. Those however many thousands and thousands of people don't turn the channel and they stay on WCW and watch the NWO reform. With Hogan beating Nash with the finger poke of doom. Say, you know, that's the sort of thing that happens. That's because that was the moment. Finger poke of doom happened the same night as Mick Foley winning. Two iconic moments. What if that one iconic moment never actually happened?
Right, and that could be something where I think they could, at least the developer, when I say they, could have a lot of fun with it. And you could bring in ex-writers. You know, you could have Paul Heyman do it again. You could have any number of people of write the stories of, well, what would have happened.
Right.
And I think that would be an interesting mode. I'm sure everybody would hate it. But at the same time, it's, well, what happens when you change the destiny of the WWF / WWE? What happens?
How you can single-handedly change the course of pro wrestling.
Yep, pretty much. Because as we know, without the Monday Night War, pro wrestling would not be where it is today. And just think about that. What if the Monday Night Wars never happened?
What if there was no WCW Monday Night Show?
Think about that one. Where would WWF / WWE be today? Would they even still be in business? Or would they be in the same boat that maybe TNA is in now, or the same boat that WCW was in before they closed? I mean, it's kind of sort of that interesting moment to play devil's advocate and wonder what could happen.
Right.
But on the other note, one of the things we were talking about, and this plays into our question tonight, is, as we know, Legends are going to be appearing this year as Sierra Stars appeared last year. So we decided, well, wouldn't it be cool if they did a factions edition where you could have all these infamous factions from the past and the present face each other?
Right.
And duke it out and battle each other, and that kind of got us to wonder, well, what factions would we like to see?
We got the Horsemen, for sure, was brought up a couple times. The Freebirds, the Fabulous Freebirds, the Hardys, the Corporation, the Dungeon of Doom, Nation of Domination, the Brood, the Ministry, some Matt Goldberg throughout the Oddities, the NWO for sure. So it's like, you bring back all these factions, and it's like, wouldn't it be interesting? Faction warfare.
That would be fun. I kind of like
the idea of having old factions in there, and that's how you base a story around. You base around legendary stables battling each other for control.
Right.
Who is the dominant force of all time? Is it DX? Is it the NWO? Is it the Four Horsemen? Is it the Kit Corporation? The Ministry? Who is this dominant faction?
Well, just think about that. You could do NWO versus DX.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that begs the question of, what members of the NWO do you use? What members of DX do you use? Do you use the new DX, Sean, and Hunter with China? Or do you use Hunter, X-Pac, and the Outlaws against Nash, Hall, and Hogan, and Macho Man, or that sort of thing?
You know, honestly, I think if you're going to do NWO and you're going to do DX, I think you should do both versions of DX, where you have Hunter and Sean, and you have Hunter and the Outlaws, and
X-Pac. Now, this is where it gets interesting, is X-Pac was both in DX and the NWO.
Maybe you could kind of build a storyline into the game surrounding those groups and the fact of, where do loyalties lie? Does Hunter's loyalty lie with Sean, or does it lie with the new DX? As far as X-Pac goes, is he with the NWO, or is he with DX?
And the same can go for Hunter. Is he more, you know, involved with DX? Or does he roll with Evolution?
Right. And you could kind of sort of take those ties where how everybody is connected and play that into storylines, and you build in natural feuds with the different factions. And also you could do the historical feuds, you know, Corporation versus Ministry, and
you could relive the Brood versus the Hardys and that sort of thing.
Right. You can redo those, but you could also do new stuff. Like, I don't know why this, but this tickles my fancy, Ministry versus Wyatts. Ministry versus Shield.
Ministry versus Shield. The Corporation versus Shield. DX versus the Shield. You can take, you know, the Four Horsemen and put them up against, you know, the Corporation or the Ministry.
Four Horsemen versus Evolution.
Mm-hmm. There's so many possibilities, and it's just one of those things where you go, huh, that would be interesting for a video game, because you don't really see that often.
No, and it's something that you could sort of sate everybody's complaints, which is a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, you never get the WCW wrestlers in there.
Right.
And this would be a way that you could get some of those wrestlers in the game. You know, you could get Nash, and you could get Savage, and you could get Hogan. I'm sure if you threw enough money at Hogan and TNA, they would be happy.
Yeah, think about this. The NWO versus the BWO.
Ha!
Think about that one.
But it would be a nice way, since they own the rights. And you could do NWO red and black. You could do Wolfpack. You could do white and black. And I'm sorry, I'm not an NWO
red
fan.
Red and black is the Wolfpack. So just
okay, red and black is Wolfpack. I'm sorry. I'm not not a huge NWO
WCW person, I know.
Yeah. Even though I'm from Atlanta, I'm not a huge WCW person.
She was too late in the game.
I was too late in the game. I think I watched Nitro a total of 3 times.
There you go. But yeah, it's something interesting they can do, and there's so many different possibilities, and it's like, it makes you just wonder what they could possibly do, and you could bring, it's a different way instead of just throwing, oh, here's this and this person, that person, they're in the game.
Right.
You more or less can throw them out there, and you can have them have a reason for them to be in the game. I kind of like the idea.
I like the idea, too, just like I like the alternate universe idea, just because it's different. It's not your status quo video game, and it's the one, I think the one wonderful thing about the video games is that they transcend time.
Right.
You get all these wrestlers from the past, from the present, and even some from the future if you create your own, where they're in their prime, they're forever young, they do not get injured, and you can have them cross timelines, where in reality you really can't do that.
Right.
And that's the beautiful thing about this, is you can tell stories in the video game that you can't tell in real life.
Nope.
And that's pretty amazing to have that capability with that.
And the biggest benefit of them all is you have all this footage WWE owns that can now incorporate into its games to really tell the stories and give backstories on all the stables that have ever been in pro wrestling.
Right. And you can go back into the 80s, you can go back into the 70s, because another complaint that at least I have, and I don't know if Rock has it too, but WWE only seems to use their history when it's convenient for them.
Right.
And one of the biggest debates that we had was about Bruno Sammartino. And the fact that in today's modern audience, and this is no offense to him at all, nobody really knows who Bruno is. Like, Rock and I were actually talking. We weren't born when Bruno was in his prime. I was 2 when he came back to WWF for his final run, and Rock wasn't even born yet. So that tells you that it's like, you know, we're bad wrestling fans because we should go back and watch it, but it's like, you don't really know who these people are, and it would be a nice way to maybe use the video games as a way to tell these stories of these older wrestlers that are now sort of being brought back by Hunter, like in Bruno's case. Somehow, if they had thought about it ahead of time, incorporated him into a game sooner.
Right.
Because it's like, yay, it's Bruno Sammartino, he's one of the longest title holders of all time. And that's really all I know about him. And that's it.
Right, I agree.
So it's kind of one of those things that would be nice if they use the video games and the footage to sort of explain the history of the company and the wrestlers and the factions and sort of use it as that power as a way to sort of educate their fan base.
Because they did that with this past game, and they used it to tell the story of the Monday Night Wars.
Right.
And I know you got it wasn't even the Monday Night Wars, it was just the Attitude, the birth of the Attitude Era, rather. And you got it because you didn't see the Attitude Era because you joined at the tail end of it. You got this
right.
To actually see and experience it firsthand through the game.
Yeah, like I was sitting here, Mace would play it for us, and he played it online for everybody to see through the Twitch player. And I would sit here, and Rock will attest to this, I was fascinated by it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had never seen it before, and it was something of, I love to go back and see all this old footage. And that's why I'm kind of it's like I'm fascinated with the Ministry of Darkness. Because the clips that I've seen of it, it seems like it was a really cool thing, but I've never actually seen it in context to what it was. Same thing with the Corporation, same thing with Austin McMahon. And as far as the Monday Night Wars, the only exposure I have to the Monday Night Wars was from the DVD that they put out, which was absolutely awesome.
Right.
But it's one of those things where it's one thing to experience it firsthand, it's another thing to experience it after the fact. So it's when you have the video game maker take the time, like they did in 13, to go back and painstakingly painstakingly put together this sequence of events that happened for people to see and experience either again or for the first time, that's really cool.
Right.
And I wish they would do more of that. And maybe they will. Maybe in this one they'll talk about the legends and why they're significant, because it's like we were talking about Sarge. You know, and you think about Sarge in his height, he was the most hated man in pro wrestling. He had a security detail because he had death threats.
Right.
Made against his life.
Yeah, they did. And now he's just comic relief.
He's a joke. I mean, when you think of Sarge, you don't think of that. You don't think of a champion. You think of, oh yeah, he's the guy when they need comic relief. Same thing with, you know, Jim Duggan and Dusty Rhodes and Ted DiBiase. And it's really sad because one day Shawn Michaels is already starting to reach that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time Shawn shows up, it's for either comic relief or he's the buddy or whatever. But you're going to see those legends of at least the Attitude Era potentially begin to come like that.
Right.
Where their meaning is forgotten, and I'd love to see them restore that meaning.
Yeah, and you don't want to see your heroes, your legends fall like that.
The day they do that with Taker, I will cry.
Yeah.
Like, what's left of my soul will just die.
Mm-hmm.
But on that note, I think we have worn that topic out.
Yeah, we have. So, that's our show, basically.
That's our show.
Hope everyone enjoyed it. Is there anything on your mind you want to rant about?
It should be legal to move people who are going 10 miles below the speed limit and refuse to yield the lane out of the left-hand lane. It should be totally legal to do that. My trigger-happy middle finger, I don't think can stand it, if it's not. Like, I know it's spring-loaded and everything, but, you know, the spring was a little tired after the other day, just pointing that out.
Oh. Yeah.
How about you?
I'm good. I'm honestly good at the moment.
Alrighty, well, on that note, wrap us up and plug some stuff.
Check out the website, wildtalkradio.com. Mace will be posting stuff about PAX this weekend. Saturday night, midnight-ish, at CB Radio with myself and Rob Parks and Subway the Weird, the Wacky, and Unusual. Before that, it is going to be Cards Against Humanity around 10 p.m. Eastern. Me, Lindsay, and the rest of the gang. We play cards, we get weird, we get evil. It's Cards Against Humanity. Evil, apples to apples. Sunday, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mace, and Omega at 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's Raw Post Show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern with Alan Wojcik. He will have on the show Joey Magnum Ryan and someone named John Davis. Wednesday night, GP Radio with Matthew Forstina and Scott Barrett at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. They want your TNA Mount Rushmore. I think it's today. Yeah, I think it's TNA. 94% sure it's TNA. Check their Facebook page at facebook.com/GP Radio for more information about that, if I'm even totally wrong. But I think it's GP Radio. I think it's TNA this week for GP Radio. We'll be back next Thursday night for another Shermack Light here at 11 p.m. Eastern on MacRadioShow.com. Follow us on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Join the Facebook group at facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. WTRProductions.net. Go check out CanadianAllPro.com. We'll talk about more about that on Sunday on WTR.
All right, well, you can follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LINSWRD. Go to my website, segwarddesigns.com. New layout coming soon. Should go live here in the next maybe week or so. We'll just have to see how it goes. Of course, visit CassieRiley.net for all your Cassie Riley needs. There's probably a new build coming for that as well. Check out Behance.net/LinsWard and LinsWard.deviantart.com. Pretty much the same stuff on both pages, but check them out because they're awesome and they've got my artwork and stuff. So, and of course, check out our sponsors, PWMania.com, Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com, and of course, the fine folks over at TNA Asylum. We love all three of you. Thank you so much for supporting our show. And speaking of supporting shows, please check out everybody else's shows on these networks. We all work very hard And we like it when people listen to us, because it's awesome like that.
Yep.
So, for Rock, I'm Lizzie Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!